Hello, my dears. Welcome back to another episode of Main Character Energy with Josephine Moon. I must say Happy New Year. As you would know, if you've listened to the podcast, I did say that I was going to do another episode before the end of the year with a bunch of recaps and reviews and deep dives into people. But that was 2023 Josephine. 2024 Josephine is just going to do whatever she feels like doing. So we're starting fresh. We're starting new. I am going to be doing some fun changes at some point this year. I don't know when that's going to be, but it's coming eventually. I'm not going to say when because then I don't want to put that pressure on myself. I'm back in New York. I did my 2 months in Texas, which was a lovely little reset, recharge. But now I'm back in Texas. But now I'm back in New York where it was snowing 2 days ago. It's going to snow tomorrow. It's so cold. It's so treacherous. It's so vile. I would say it's not a great time to be back in New York, but it seems that a lot of places in the U.S. it was snowing, so it wouldn't have helped regardless. But being back in New York when it's cold, which is really weird because like one of the things I absolutely loved about New York was the weather. Like I love cold weather. It makes me so happy. I love putting on layers. It's just like delightful for me. I hate the summer. I hate the heat. We know this. But I'm just like not feeling it this year. It's just like not the vibes. So it's interesting being back. I'm not loving it. I feel like I'm hating New York more than before I left, which is not great. So I started this series on TikTok called Falling Back in Love with New York. So I'm going to try new things and maybe old things that I used to do that I really enjoyed about New York to try to find that spark again, because like it just really has not, as I've said, I don't want to keep harping on this because it's really not that interesting. Like, okay, move on. So I'm just trying the series and just finding new things that I used to love and hoping it brings back a spark for me and makes being in New York less unpleasant, I should say. I met up with my friend yesterday and we did like a anti-vision board, but we didn't do a vision board. We just kind of like wrote down our goals and kind of talked about action items for them for the year. And so we kind of went over my falling back in love with New York idea and like some things that could happen. So I'm excited for that. I think that'll give me a little kick in the keister. What's that phrase? It's like very Southern, I feel. I don't think I've, whatever. So it's going to give me a little kick and I'm excited, kind of, but maybe I need to fake happiness. I don't know. I can't tell if that's a good idea or a bad idea to just like fake happiness and then maybe it'll start to be real, or if that'll like make the denial worse. I don't know. Oh my God, we're taking a really dark turn at the beginning of this podcast, but I'm just so real. I'm just so honest with you guys. I did want to talk about some of my New Year's resolutions because I feel like if I say it out loud, then I have to keep up with it. You know what I mean? So let me find my paper with all my things on it. And I'm just going to go through it. A few of the most important ones that I need to be kept accountable for. And we'll see from there. So on my list, I have some like very simple ones, kind of things that I was working on last year, but want to continue it. So I want to continue reading. Like I've really enjoyed the past year, like starting my book club and I wouldn't say finding a new passion for reading, but finding a little bit more enjoyment in reading. Even like some of the books that were so horrendous, I still enjoyed being able to like finish the book and say I read it, even if it was bad. So I really enjoyed that and I want to continue reading more books, but I want to try and double the number. Last year was 12. I think I did 16. I read a few other books outside of book club. This year, my goal, it's like the second week in January, but the beginning of the year, I was like, I want to read I think it was like a book a week. And I was like, that's not realistic. So I think I'm going to go with 2 books a month, which is going to be 24 books at the end of the year. So I've got my book club where obviously we read 1 book a month. And then I actually joined another book club with some people that I don't know from like a Facebook group. So that'll at least be 2 books a month. And that'll be really exciting. I'm really excited about that. Number two, I'm going to put myself out there a little bit more. I feel like I already do that in life. Like it's not difficult for me to meet new people and kind of go to things that I wouldn't normally go to. But I want to put myself out there more in things that I actually enjoy, not just doing things to do them. I'm not just doing things for the plot, but like actually doing because I want to. I don't know how that's going to happen, but I'm going to figure that out somehow. One is to be healthier. I feel like maybe it's just like everyone, but I feel like it's mostly women when you get to like your late 20s or just like just being a woman in general. I don't really know. You're always just like trying to reset your health and like either lose weight or tone up or do more classes or just work out more. And then you start it and then you stop and then you start and stop. That's just like constant with me, with like a lot of my friends as well. We're always like, we're going to start this diet together. 1 week later, we're like scarfing down burgers and like milkshakes. Like, do you know what I mean? So this year, like I want to go into this birthday that I have coming up November, being the healthiest I've ever been, not the skinniest, because like, That would look so unhealthy on my body right now. That would be me being like 115 pounds. That would be me at my skinniest, which is insane. But just healthier. What else is on here? Save more money. I like use all my savings this past year of being unemployed. So I want to reset and save more money. Oh, these two are the big ones. And I realized this when I was back in Texas, just like kind of goes into my next point, but whatever. So my number two thing that's like one of my big ones that I really want to work on for this year is putting more time and effort into friendships and people who are able and continue to do the same with me. More so, is that even English? Yeah. More so just kind of meaning like, I don't want to put like a lot of effort and time into a friendship when like they're not putting any of that effort or time into me, whether that's just like checking in, like making plans, being intentional about things and just like kind of being there. I feel like a lot of the times, sometimes I feel like this podcast is really, I might have said this on the last episode. Oh my God, it's really giving like deja vu, like dementia. But where was I going with this? Oh yeah. I feel like a lot of time with friendships, and maybe it's just like how I see friendships, I'm not really sure, but I just don't want to like put in time and effort to someone that's like not going to be long-term. And just put so much like emotional effort or whatever into them. And it's just like, they would not care if like I left tomorrow, they wouldn't check in, they wouldn't see how I'm doing. Like they would not care. And they don't mean to be a bad friend. That's just like the type of friend they are and the type of friendships that they have cultivated in their lives. So that's normal for them. But I just don't want to do that. I like the people that are important in my life that care about me, that I care about, I want to put more time into them rather than just giving all of my time, not all of my time, but like giving my time to people that don't deserve it, I guess is a nicer way to say that. Maybe not the nicer way to say it, but whatever. So yeah, I want to work on that. So I'm making a list and I'm checking it twice because I don't know, I feel like I'm just revamping a lot of things in my life, and that's friendships. That's passions, that's my joie de vivre, that's everything. And I just want to get it back to the core, you know? Which leads me to my number one goal for the year. I feel like being back home, I won't get into the full story because it's, I don't know if it's the nicest thing to say, but being back home was really lovely. But I just kind of realized that like when you get older, and you're like fully formed, you're able to kind of, and you spend a lot of time with people or family, whatever, you're able to see like some, either their bad habits or your bad habits or whatever, or just things that needs to be worked on. And I noticed that it's kind of like, it kind of runs through my family a little bit, but I definitely see it in myself and I really want to work on it this year. That's like my biggest goal, is that I want to say how I feel more, whether it's good or bad or awkward or uncomfortable. I want to... I don't want to say speak, but like, I just want to speak more. Like, I'm someone who a lot of the time just kind of like brushes things away or just kind of ignores it or pushes things down. That's a better way of saying it. I push a lot of things down, whether it's good or bad. And I don't want to do that. I want to be able to tell someone, whether it's positive or negative, how I'm feeling, rather than just saying, oh, I don't know, I don't care, it doesn't really matter to me, or whatever, it's up to you. Like, actually saying how I feel rather than just, like, is diminishing it the right word? I think so. Diminishing it. Diminishing those feelings. So that is my biggest goal. I want to work on that, you know? But all that kind of leads into, I was thinking yesterday on my local bus ride home, friendships. I feel like I'm always talking about friendships because, like, what else is there to talk about in life? Like, I'm not dating anyone. So, like, you guys will know when I'm dating someone because all the things that I'll be talking about at the beginning of my podcast will be like, so in relationships, when this happens, what do you do? Like, you guys will know. It will be very obvious. But I feel like you go through, I don't know if it's phases or ups and downs with friendships, and you're just constantly learning and evolving as an adult and as an adult in friendships. But I was thinking on my bus, all this to say, LOL, it's going to have to be the name of the podcast episode, all this to say. But all this to say, I have a question and I actually want responses back from people. So if you're listening to this, once I finish this, please send me a text or a message because I would like to know. When it comes to friendships, and I want you to think of like your people that you consider to be like your best friends, like you've been friends for so long or whatever the situation is. And then people that you've become friends with over the past few years who like you're really close to. How do you define, all that to say, how do you define a good friendship? Do you base it off of like people that you've been friends with for a long time that you consider best friends? Like, do you base it off of how they are with you? Or do you base it off of like what you want in a friendship? And if they're able to do that and provide that, whatever that is. Because I was thinking about this and I was like, I don't know, because the people that I would consider like my best friends are people that I've known for a very long time, and they all have something in common where like their version of friendship and their way of being a friend to me is very similar. And that's probably why we've been friends for so long. But that's why I would say I trust them. And like, if anything were to happen, but like, those are the people that I would absolutely ride or die for. And then there's people that I've become friends with over the past few years, or I've known for a while, and I'm like, oh, I really enjoy them. I think they're fun to hang out with and talk to. But their version of friendship and being a good friend is very different from what I've experienced. Can you tell I'm back in New York? Like the sirens were going off. Like, I have not missed that. But it's just very different from what I've experienced. So then it leads me to like come to the conclusion that like they're not, kind of, which brings me back to my goal for the year of like putting effort and time into people who like would actually care in the long term. Just like in the long term, their version of friendship is not going to lead to something that you guys will be friends forever. Just like friends for the moment. Even if like that friends for the moment is like you guys hang out all the time, like you're there for each other when that moment is needed, but like nothing further, if that makes sense. And I wonder if that's just like my way of seeing some friendships, or if like a lot of people kind of base OG friendships to that. So yeah, can you tell I've had a lot of time at home to think and ponder over things? My God, she's losing it. Anywho, let's get into this episode. There's a few fun things to talk about, a few kind of throwaways. I'm not even going to lie to you. And then at the end, I'm going to have like a recap and reviews of some shows and some movies that I've recently seen. Because why not? Let's jibber jabber about it. I'm here. You're here. Let's chat. Anywho, let's get into some stories. Our first story, of course, I told you in our last episode that I was excited for this to come out so we could chat about it. The list from Epstein's court case has been brought to light. I believe there's supposed to be like another 80 or 90 names that's supposed to come out. I don't know when, because the first batch of names came out, I want to say a week or two ago. I don't know why they're like doing this drop, like just release information. This is not a Kylie drop. This is government information. Anywho, some of the names on here, like we kind of already knew, we kind of suspected. Some of the names on here are actually kind of very random. I'm going to go through some of the names that we know. A lot of the names on here are just like people we don't know and don't care about. So yeah, let's start with the obvious, of course, is going to be Bill Clinton. Like, I posted this on the Instagram page. Like, the Clintons really have a hard time getting their shit together. Like, actually, can you imagine? Whatever, let's just get into it. Okay, so Bill Clinton, on this list, it says he's known to have taken several plane trips to the island with Epstein. The accuser who named Bill Clinton said that Clinton likes them young, but that she wasn't aware of Clinton's age during the sexual contact. And the thing is, I think by her saying he likes them young, that kind of leads it to a lot of interpretation because the man is 1,000 years old. Anyone who's 60 or below is technically young. So I don't know if she actually confirmed if he meant young by underage or young by like 18 to early 20s. Like that was kind of left to interpretation. Because I feel like she would have said he likes them underage. He likes them infants practically. So that's kind of left up to interpretation, but it's still disgusting. He is still allegedly a married man. Like, I don't really understand their relationship because he seemed to be going to this island all the time, like all the time, which leads me to my question, not to like blame the woman because I'm not blaming her, but do we think, and according to the poll, you guys thought the latter, but do you think that she is either like the strongest woman known to man or she is the biggest dumbass and she's weak in the knees and needs to get a grip? When I put that poll up, everyone said that she's weak in the knees and needs to get a grip. And I do agree. Like, there's no reason for her to still be married to this man. Like, he, since like their conception of being married, continually embarrassed her, continually cheated on her, just like really has not helped in any type of way. And I don't really understand the point of being married to someone like that when there's no need to be. Like, there's nothing holding them together. Their kids are fully adult with children. Like, there's no reason for them to be together unless there's like some like unless there's like this like crazy secret that they both have over each other that literally no one can know, so they have to stay married. And like, honestly, unless Hillary is going to this island to be with young girls, she needs to leave. Like, it's not like she's wanting to get married again, but like, at least like set yourself apart from this disgusting, decrepit, filthy man. Like, girl, it's not the vibes. Speaking of people who are not the vibes, oh my God, thank God Queenie is not alive to hear this, but Prince Andrew is on the list. He was accused. I don't even know if it's accused, like he fully did it, but he was accused of groping the, what is this girl's name? Actually, I can't remember. We'll just call her accuser because I don't know how to pronounce her name. He was accused of like groping her breast. There was also like some stories that came out that like he had, obviously he likes underage underage girls, that he had like orgies and threesomes with underage girls. And he was a frequent flyer to that island. But I don't know if it's even a thankfully, because unfortunately, like, he's not really going to be punished. Like, I don't really understand the point of the list kind of coming out, because are these people going to get sued? Are these people going to get tried for, I don't really understand. Maybe that's for me to look up since I'm giving this podcast, but like, I don't want to. I guess it's just for us to know that like people out there are so filthy and disgusting, but like, are they going to be tried? Are they going to have to go to court? Are they going to go to jail for this? Like, why was Epstein the only one to go to jail for this? I would like to know. But obviously he was on the list. Donald Trump was on the list, but like, he was on the list for going to the island. But apparently the accuser said that she never had any interactions with him. So that's neither good nor bad, because it could have been other girls who had interactions with him, but she did not. Other people on the list that was like so shocking to me was Stephen Hawking. And that actually took me out, because that's crazy. Like, I feel like I can't, I don't know, because it's kind of crazy to say, but like, how? He's in a wheelchair and like he can't move. Was he just like typing on his computer telling these underage girls what to do? Like, what? That's so insane. Okay, but other people on the list, I'm just going to go through some of the names very, very quickly. We have Leonardo DiCaprio, Al Gore, Michael Jackson, Kevin Spacey, George Lucas, Kate Blanchett, Naomi Campbell, Heidi Klum, Bruce Willis, Cameron Diaz, Chris Tucker, Sarah Ferguson, Duchess of York, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I'm trying to look. Are any of these names people know? Like, it's just crazy to me. And to be fair, some of the people on this list are people that were named as like he being Epstein, like to name drop people that he knew. These aren't the people that necessarily, all of them aren't necessarily the people that went to his island and like were being freaks. I think Cameron Diaz and like Naomi Campbell are like some of those people, and Leonardo DiCaprio, who were like, they were named as like he name dropped them because he knew them. But I don't know. I don't know, you guys. There were a few names that were redacted, and there is a rumor that supposedly, allegedly, Oprah's name was on there and the Obamas' names were on there, and they either paid an excruciatingly large amount of number to be redacted, or just, like, I don't know what it was, but the kids on TikTok and just some people in general are saying that their names were on there. I, like, weirdly believe Oprah, because I think I saw an article saying that Oprah was friends with Epstein, very close friends. But who knows? I don't really see her going to that. I don't know. Like, was this island full of, like, just, like, young girls and young boys? Or was it mostly just, like, young girls and people coming to, like, party and do drugs and, like, just be, like, freaks together? Like, I'm not sure if, like, the women were named because, like, they just happened to go on, like, a fun-free weekend to an island, a private island, to just, like, be crazy. Or if they have these secret fetishes. I don't know. I wish Epstein, wink, wink, was alive to tell us, but he's dead, quote unquote. But yeah, that's the list in general. I'm hoping the other list comes with, like, more shocking names with more, I don't know if I want graphic details because it's, like, so, it, like, makes my skin crawl. But I do want to know these freaks, and I want their names to be just out there. Just out there! Speaking of freaks, our next story, Paula Abdul is suing Nigel Lithgow. He was the, I want to say, producer or creator of So You Think You Can Dance and a few other things in American Idol, or was on that. She's accusing him of, like, touching her and being inappropriate with her. And then it came out that a few other people that have worked with him are suing him as well, which, like, I've said this on the last episode, there's really not much to say in these situations. It's just, like, my only thing to say is why are people, I'm not even gonna say men, because, I mean, it's usually men, but there are some horrible women out there as well. Why are people just so vile? Why are people so repulsive, so dreadful? Like, it's a good thing that I can't understand it, because that would make me a freak like them. But I really just don't understand people's mindsets of just, like, doing, touching, behaving in ways that make no sense. Quite literally make no sense. It's just horrible. And I hope she gets every single penny that she wants from him. I hope that this hasn't, I mean, she's, how old is Paula Abdul? I want to say she's in her probably late 60s, early 70s. I don't really know. I know she's old, but, like, whatever. I hope she gets absolutely everything from this man. And even though he's, like, 90 and his career is probably already over, I hope everything is taken away from him. I hope he can never work another day in his life. And I hope he has to hide in the sewers like Matt Lauer did, even though Matt Lauer's for some reason having, like, a comeuppance these days. But I haven't forgotten. I never will. But that's all I have to say on the situation. Nigel, scram, rotten hell. And we got to protect Miss Paula A at all costs. Which leads me to my next story. I don't know if any of these two people need to be protected at all costs, but Rachel Lindsay from The Bachelor and her husband are getting divorced. I feel like I feel like this story wasn't really shocking because I believe at some point I remember her saying on a podcast, or it was just, like, random news, that they don't even live together. Like, he has a place in Florida because he's some form of doctor. It's, like, whatever. He has a place in Florida and she still has a place in Texas. But, like, I think she has a place in California because she's always doing, like, podcasts and whatever. So I remember reading that they do not live together and she never seems to be home. So, like, this isn't really shocking. Like, of course you're not going to stay married to someone that you don't see or spend any time with. You don't go to bed with them every night. Like, this isn't really strange. However, the only thing that's coming out that is weird, and I feel like I might have it's not a hot take, I might have a different perspective on it, but he is asking for spousal support. And generally, 99.9% of the time, it's quite literally loser on loser crime when men ask for spousal support. Like, Kelly Clarkson's husband asked for spousal support, even though he stole millions and millions and millions of dollars from her. He still wanted spousal support and the house that she bought. Whatever. But I always find it to be such a losery thing when men ask for that. But in a weird way, I'm assuming they own a home together somewhere. It would only make sense. I'm assuming it was a house out of his price range that she wanted and he went along. I'm just making up things here. Come on. I feel like that's the only way he could ask for that. Because, like, he's a doctor. He's got money. He's living his life of Riley. He's fine. So unless, like, Rachel kind of, I don't want to say forced, pushed him into like buying real estate or doing things that he didn't really want to do and that he's going to be stuck having to pay for unless she buys him out. That's the only way I could see spousal support working for him, just to pay off that. But he doesn't need the money unless he got fired from his job because he's with her. Like, that would be the only reason he could ask for spousal support and I would understand it. But if not, he's a big loser, and I'm glad they're getting, not glad, but like, actually he filed for divorce, and apparently she didn't see it coming because she had posted like 5 days before, whatever. Anywho, they're getting divorced. It's sad for those who care. I don't think anyone did because they haven't really been seen together in years. So it's not shocking. Anywho, let's move on to our next story, which is about Miss Ariana Grande. She has come back with new music and a new music video. Yes, and I'm neither here nor there about it. Like, I don't mind it. I think I've listened to it in full like 2 times. I watched the music video last weekend. It's good. Is it like her best? No. I'm intrigued to see where she's going with this. Like, there wasn't a lot of her usual whistle tones. It was just like very, and it's not, I'm not saying this is what the kids are saying. It's like another reiteration of Renaissance, Beyonce, because it is very, even though that was like a take on Madonna, which is pretty much what the song was. It's very poppy. It's very Madonna. It's disco, but it's not. It's retro, but it's not. I don't mind it, but the lyrics in it is what I want to talk about mostly. She's telling us that we need to mind our business, which, like, she makes a valid point, but the thing is, she's telling us to mind her business, and she's asking us why we care. Her words, not mine. Whose dick she rides. That's the lyrics. And I want to say to Miss Ariana Grande, we only care because every single song, every single album that you've had over the past like 10 plus years is you talking about your sex life. Like, every single song is about your sex life and whose D you're riding, Miss Girl. That's why we care, because you keep telling us to care with your music. Like, je suis confuse. So I'm finding that a bit strange. And I feel as though she didn't, but she did, I guess, kind of address that, like, you know what? Yes, he was married and I wrecked their marriage. That's my thing. Yes, and like, move on, get over it. I don't know. I feel like usually with this approach to music where you're kind of just being like, whatever, this happened, whatever. If it's something that did not hurt any other party, it just hurt you or the other person, then it's like, okay, I'll listen, I'll go along with it. But if a random woman and child, newborn child, were involved in this, it just feels a little icky, and I don't know. I'm not loving this for Ariana. Like, I get that this is your thing. You like to wreck relationships. It's quite literally your MO, but it's getting a little tired. It's a little embarrassing. Not a little. It's a lot embarrassing, and I'm not entertained by it. I did like the choreography in the music video. I thought it was cute. I thought it was very TikTok-y. I do kind of want to learn some of the moves, but it wasn't anything groundbreaking. I feel like she's had songs where she's come out of quote unquote hiding and she's come back with a new hit and I'm just obsessed immediately. This one, I'm not obsessed. I'm not like listening to this on repeat 24/7. Like, if it's playing, I'll tap my little toe. I'll move my little hip, but you're not getting a full body roll from me. Sorry, it's not happening. So let's move on to our next story. Speaking of body rolls, these transitions are top 10. Miss Halle Bailey has finally come out. She had her baby, I think, either the end of December or beginning of January, not sure. But she's given birth. She was indeed pregnant, which we all knew. The baby's name is Halo, which I think is a very cute name, like, obsessed. And I hope that, I don't know, let's just be positive. I'm happy for her and her SoundCloud rapper boyfriend, who I literally don't know who he is. Like, I've never heard a song on the radio. I just keep seeing his, like, little vlogs on TikTok. Like, I don't know who he is. But she's happy, and I love that for her, I guess. I very quickly want to talk about the story because it's not like anything interesting, but I found it to be very funny because I know a lot of drama and beef is going to come from this, especially on who it's speaking about. But the rapper, I want to say, Mos Def, was on like this podcast, and he was asked about Drake's music, and he was like, oh, it's cute, like shopping music. I feel like that it was probably a big, it was a heavy blow for Drake. And he like continued on like, it's really great, like Target music, H&M, H&M like trying on music, like it's accessible, I think is what he said. And I just know, especially because Drake likes to beef with any single person who says his name, good or bad, there is going to be a girly little diss track that is going to come out, and Mos Def is not even going to acknowledge it because he doesn't care. And I'm glad he kind of said that, because I feel like Drake hasn't, I feel like I've said this before, but whatever. I feel as though Drake hasn't had like a good repertoire of music or album catalog of music since, I feel like I say this all the time, but 2016. 2016 was like that girl. It was that girl for that year, that period of time. It was stunning. But his music was like at its peak then. And I don't, in my opinion, obviously, don't think he's had an album of that like magnitude of just like nonstop. You want to hear it on repeat every single moment of the day for weeks, months, years. All the other albums have like, they've had a song or two on there that like, oh, you'll hear it. Like you'll bop around to it. But like, it's not anything worthwhile. And I feel like he's just continually trying to like chase that high and it's not happening. So I'm glad someone kind of said it, but you know, he's in the studio right now. He's got his writers putting up a little diss track and it's going to be coming out in the next week or two. I'm positive of it. I'll put money on it. But I'm glad someone said it. It had to be said. Speaking of music, next story, obviously. All the lineups have come out for all, not all of the festivals, but some of the big festivals like Coachella, Governor's Ball, all the other ones. Is it just me, or are they quite literally recycling the same people for the past like 7 or 8 years? Like the people for Coachella is Lana Del Rey, Doja Cat, and someone else. Like, are they not always at these festivals headlining it? Like, obviously it's a gorgeous little chat, like it's a fun little weekend, but like, can we get new people? I would not pay. How much is Coachella? It's like, I want to say it's $900 for tickets, and then you got to fly out there, and then you got to rent a car and drive to the desert and get a place. Like, that's just like a such an expensive weekend to keep seeing the same people, and it's not new music, it's just the same thing. Like, same thing with the festivals here in New York, like Governor's Ball and a few of the other ones. Like, you're paying $100 to see the same set that you saw last year. Like, it's not interesting. I need new artists. Maybe that's why, because just like artists aren't coming up these days. They don't have that kind of presence to bring to a stage. They don't have the catalog to do a set or whatever. I don't know what it is, but we need new artists. And if you can't find it, like, pay some of the bigger artists who don't usually do this a lot more money, because that would be more interesting than the same 15 people at all of these festivals. It's so boring to me. Not just to me, probably to everyone. It's getting a little stale. I'll say it. We're all thinking it. Speaking of stale, I don't even think this is a hot take, because I don't think anyone below the age of 45 cares about this man. But Elton John got his EGOT this past weekend. I don't remember what he got his Tony for. I know he's got an Oscar for obviously writing a song. Grammy, obvious. His Emmy he got this weekend for his recorded live show. I don't know what it was on, Netflix, Amazon, I really have no idea because I've never heard of it, but of course they were going to give it to him because like, why not? I don't even know what else was in the category, but I know respectfully he did not deserve to win this at all. And I think he got his Oscar either last year or 2 years ago over Beyonce for his dumb song, was it The Lion King or was it for something else? It might've been for The Lion King. I think he rewrote a song. I don't remember. And I was like, they are just giving this to him to like, I almost hate to shut him up, because like, it wasn't a great song compared to all the others, not just Beyonce's song, like all the other songs in that category of that year. But he got his EGOT. Hopefully he will stay retired and just like stay at home with, does he have a partner? I have no idea about this man's life. But just like stay retired quietly, because I don't, respectfully, no one cares. No one cares. And if you do, like, good for you. Okay, whatever. People that I do care about, though, I want to talk about. We have some unfortunate, but kind of fortunate, I guess, depending on how you want to look at it, royal news. Miss Kate Middleton, Princess of Wales, was in the local hospital. She had some type of abdominal surgery. They said she's fine, but she's going to be out until, I believe they said Easter, resting and recuperating, which, glad that she's fine. But I just like, I don't like hearing news about my royals being in the hospital, whether it's obviously good or bad, because it just makes me nervous. It just makes me very, very nervous. I don't like that. It's just like too soon. you know, like I'm still reeling from my sweet Lizzie, the love of my life. And I just don't like it, but I'm glad she's okay. And then there was news that came out that King Charles had like some prostate exam and he wanted the people to know to destigmatize getting that checked for men, which is good on him. I will give him that. I like that his reign so far has just been very mild. I feel like a lot of, here we go. I'm going to start talking about this forever. I'll make it quick. Don't worry. I feel like a lot of people, me included, were kind of nervous because I feel like, one, he's waited so long to do this and he's had so many maybe radical ideas and things that he wanted to do and change up the monarch. And I can't tell if it's just because like he's old. He's so old now that he's just like all of that fire has withered away. Or if he's like, it's too soon for me to start actually radicalizing. Is that even the word? Hold on. Yeah. Radicalizing all of these things so soon after Lizzie's death. Like it's been a year and a half. September 8th. Yeah. It's been like a year and a half. And people are still getting used to it, especially with the drama from Harry and Meghan. So I feel like he's just like, I'm not doing anything crazy. I'm just going to kind of pave the way and continue. And I hope he continues to do that until whatever time he either passes on to the other side or decides to, quote unquote, retire and let William step up to it. I saw an article recently. And it was an actual article. It wasn't a TikTok where they were saying that a lot of people are thinking that he would, quote unquote, abdicate or step down earlier because he doesn't want William to have to live the life that he lived of like having to wait. You know, he wouldn't have to wait as long, clearly, but having to wait when like he's still young and can really change a lot of things and do the job so well. But I don't think he would do that. I think he's going to do this till he dies, which he's like 76 or something like that. It's not going to be that long. But you never know. These royals live till like their late 90s, early 100s. So he could be king for the next 30 years. Who knows? And then William will be king when he's like 70. Like who actually knows? But he's doing a good job, which is really, it's not shocking, but it's kind of shocking, you know? Speaking of shocking, which leads me to my final story, which will lead me into my recaps and reviews. We need to talk about Gypsy Rose because I remember when did she get released from prison. I remember, I think it was like a few days before Christmas or after Christmas, and I just kept seeing it trending everywhere. Like, we're dancing for Gypsy Rose. We've got our bottles pop for when Gypsy is out. And I'm like, what is this story? Like, didn't she like kill someone or help kill someone? Like, I did not know the story. I have never heard of this woman. Yeah, she's a woman. I've never heard of this girl in my life. And now she's everywhere. And she got out of prison. She's married somehow to a man, for sure. And the whole world is obsessed with her. The way they are acting about her is so telling and scary. When I say we've lost the plot, this is the actual definition of we've lost the plot. She planned and manipulated someone who was heavily on the spectrum, who had a lot of special needs, to come and murder her mom. And then when she found out that she was going to either be in jail for the rest of her life or get executed, she was like, no, he did this. Like, I'm so astounded that this is the person that everyone's writing for. A murderer. Say with me, murder. So insane. But I was like, maybe I'm just like not getting it. So I watched the show, The Act, because I remember the show came out maybe like 3 or 4 years ago. And I remember hearing like, oh, Gypsy Rose, kind of. I, again, did not know who she was and I didn't watch the show because like, honestly, Joey King kind of bothers me. Like her face is just like a lot for me at times. But I watched The Act on Hulu like this past week or two. And I was like, maybe I'm just like not seeing what people are seeing. So I finished it. And again, I'm not seeing what people are seeing because from what I saw from the show, and obviously like there were things that were dramatized, but like the basic storyline is the general truth. There was really no reason for her to murder her mom. Like, yes, I understand like her mom manipulated her and like abused her and was horrendous to her. And like Munchausen's, like I saw it, it was very sad. It was very depressing. But this girl was of the right mind that she knew she could walk. She knew she was okay. She knew she wasn't allergic to sugar. At one point when she's like 18 or something like that. She does like leave a note for mom and says, I'm leaving. I don't want to be here. And like goes to this guy who she met like once and was like talking to. Like she had the right mind to like plot a murder, have two men fall in love with her, like plan all these things and continue like find a little laptop, create little usernames. Like she had that thought of mind and ran away at one point in her life that I don't understand the point of murdering her mom if she could run away. I like actually do not understand that. And especially seeing like the last episode of the show where you can see the guy that she had murder her mom was like, what's it called when you have multiple personalities? Is it schizophrenic? No. But I believe he was some form of schizophrenic and then he had multiple personalities and was just like so heavily on the spectrum. Like he lived at home. Like he tried to work at like a pizza shop and like he couldn't really do it because like he just was so on the spectrum. So like I'm really shocked that this man got, yes, he did the murder. Was he aware of what he was doing? Literally no. Like what? Also too. I'm shocked that he got for life and she only got like 10, 15 years at best. Like that is actually crazy to me. And she's coming out with a husband, lifetime special. She's got, I think it's like 5 million followers now. She's doing Get Ready With Me's on TikTok. Like, this is so insane. Like, it's so insane that this is where we are in our culture. I really have no words. Like, it's really insane to me. And I'm trying to find where we lost it in our culture. Like, honestly, where we lost it. Because we're just getting to such a dark place. And I don't want to blame. Or maybe I do. I don't know. There's no blame. I won't say I'm blaming anyone. But I feel like this upcoming generation, Gen Z, younger, whatever, their way of, I don't know if the word is empathizing with things that are beyond them that they don't understand because they want to be so inclusive. Like, I don't really understand it because we've taken it too far. Like, we took it too far last year when we were saying that Osama bin Laden was like not a bad guy. We took it too far when we were okay with children being beheaded and murdered in Israel. Like, we've taken it too far with like glamorizing a murderer and following them on Instagram and telling them, it's like, give us a makeup routine, girl. Like, where are we in our culture that our mindset is to just look past reality and look past what's right and wrong? Like, I'm laughing because there's nothing else to do but laugh. But, like, I'm really nervous and scared for where we're going to be in a few years. Like actually where we're going to be and the things that we're going to have to, like, dance around in the subject because for some reason. I'm sure if I went on TikTok and said how I feel about Gypsy Rose, I would somehow get canceled for not sympathizing with a murderer. Like, that's where we're at. It's so weird. I want to talk about The Crown. I'm going to make it quick because it's getting long and I've got a birthday party to get to. But finished The Crown, the last season, the last of it all. And let's talk positives. Let's talk positives first. Obviously, I loved it. Like, The Crown, watching The Crown over the past 8-10 years, I want to say, has been such a joy. And I feel like has brought so much life and respect to the royal family. At least from my perspective, I know a lot of people are like, no, those colonizers. I don't give a shit. But in general, I feel like it's brought so much life and respect to them. And I think being able to see Queen Lizzie, RIP, her journey from quite literally being crowned to, spoiler alert, her dying. Not me spoiling history, like what? But her dying, kind of seeing that whole journey and like the things that she's gone through, the things she's had to persevere, like the very tough relationships that she's had to deal with her family, with her husband, with the country, and having to kind of reinvent herself in very quiet, simple ways to keep the monarchy going was just like such a show of strength and resilience in one human being. To have to constantly like be the judge and jury with your family on the most minute details, on things you wish you could be able to do but you can't. Like, what a toll that must have taken. And to be able to not only have those hard conversations, but still be able to rectify and be there for those people for so long at the same time, I thought was just so gorgeous. Like, I need to find like another, maybe I'll find like a book on her. Like, I just want to continue to learn more about this woman, because I think she's just so honorable, honestly. But that leads me into Charles, which is very funny, because I feel like over the past, I guess it would be 25 years, but like, I feel like over the past like maybe 10 years, especially with like Harry going on this tour of like trying to, whatever. I feel like the perspective that we've been given about Charles is that like he is a horrible person. Like, yes, he kind of was a horrible person in the beginning. Like, he did not love this woman, Diana, of course, but married her anyways because he had to, but continually cheated on her with the love of his life. Like, horrible, 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 which led her to not take care of herself properly and kind of led to her demise. But like, her demise had nothing to do with Charles, it had to do with Dodi. So I don't really understand how that narrative came about, that the royal family tried to kill Diana when like they had moved on and they were perfectly fine with their lives. Like, I really don't know where that narrative came from. And like, it was still very strong as the narrative up until like, honestly, like a year ago, 2 years ago. But I feel like this past season, especially this past season for Charles, was like such a win, the way they painted him. And it could be how he is in general, like, we don't know, but the way they painted him was just like so, so kind, honestly, because he's not looked good any of the seasons, like from a baby till now, he's not looked good. But this past season, like, really, they really wanted to give him a win, showing just like how good of a father he was, how much he tried to be there, but also just showed you that like his love for Camilla, like, say what you want, and I'm one of those people, but like, this man has loved this elderly woman for like, what, 30, 40 years, and has held on to that so strong. Like, that is impressive. I will give him that. Like, nothing was going to get in the way of his love for Camilla. And that was gorgeous, I guess. All that to say, let's talk about Diana very quickly, because I feel like this season and a little bit of the last season, I was really finding myself not enjoying Diana. Like, not one bit. I just found it a little bit repetitive. I didn't find it interesting to watch her spiral, which I know that's probably how she was behaving in that day. And according to my parents, I asked them about it, because they're like, yeah, at that time in London, like, Diana was no angel. She was behaving erratically. She was doing a lot of things for attention. Like, she was a little bit of the villain, and then she got painted as the hero at the end. But that is like a common misconception, that this was all Charles's fault. Like, they had someone kill her because he wasn't going to be able to marry Camilla if she was still alive. Like, he's going to kill the mother of his children so he can be with his woman. They can get married. Like, they're together. They're fine. But I just found myself, like, anytime Diana was on the screen, I just found myself kind of like looking away and kind of like being on my phone, not being as engaged as I usually am with the show. Cause I was just being real. I just found myself really bored by her and the storyline. And I also don't know why in history, when we talk about Diana and her death, why we don't talk about Dodi, and that whole family. Like, she was one killed by a drunk driver. Like, that should be the number one takeaway. I don't know why it's always brought back to the royals and Queenie did this to protect her son. Like, she got in a car and the driver was drunk. How does that relate to anything? One. And two, she was with Dodi and was supposed to be around Dodi's father's protection. Like, I don't know how he did not become the villain in a lot of this story. Like, I really don't. Yes, he was grieving. His son died too. But like, it was just a little weird. But it was a little bit boring when it came to that storyline. So like, I'm glad it was just the first half. I'm glad they kind of split it up, because I was really ready to be done with the Diana story. But I was very excited about William and Kate. Like, I really wish they would do one more season of like, just quite literally leading up to them getting married, because I did want to see a little bit more. But I guess because it's so current and present in a lot of our minds and like in history, because I remember watching their wedding in high school at like 5 a.m. at my friend's house. Like, I do remember it. So I guess they kind of don't want to lead it up too much to that. But all that to say, I loved getting to see my William. Like, anytime Harry was on the screen, like, I just found myself like wanting to scream. Like, even as a young kid in the show, he was such a little, I was going to say a word that I don't think I've ever really used. I was going to say twat. I don't think I've ever used that word before, but he was such a little twat. I was finding it so irritating the whole time. I did enjoy seeing William and Kate. I know everyone's trying to, can you hear my dog snoring right now? Ginger,
enough place.
I know everyone's trying to come for her, like, weighty Katie. Like, okay, she saw something she wanted and she went after it. Like, okay. And he wanted her too. So I don't really understand everyone being like, she stalked him. Like, okay. Okay. Like, you've never stalked a guy before that you liked? Please, get a grip. Get a grip. Loved it. Absolutely adored. I'm kind of intrigued by, even though we'll never know because we'll all be dead when it comes out, but like, what is in Prince Philip's, what's it called? In his will. He like had it sealed and it can be opened in 100 years when everyone that would know him or is involved will be dead. But kind of based on this past 2 seasons, like they were so, Queenie and Philip were so separate. Like I want to know the secrets that's in there. Obviously, like, he probably left a lot of money for his side girls. He probably has, like, another child somewhere. Who knows? Like, I'm dying to know what's in there. All that to say, it was a fabulous show. That season, I give it a 3 out of 5. The series as a whole, I give it a 4.5 out of 5. Like, it was just fabulous. The episode, okay, I'm not going to do episode by episode, but it was fabulous, okay? Very quickly, I want to get into Saltburn. I finally watched it this past weekend with some friends. It was definitely crazy. A lot of penis, a lot of penis, a lot of sexual underlying tension. I like those, I'm not going to spoil it, even though it's been out. I feel like I was the last person to see it, but I'm not going to spoil it just in case you haven't seen it. I thought it was a good movie. Like, was it amazing? No, it's one of those stories that, like, you see it and you're like, oh, okay. Like, it had really funny bits. It had, like, I feel like the dialogue with the parents was really good. I feel like some things just, like, didn't really seem to be answered. Kind of, like, I feel like there were a lot of unanswered questions. But I did enjoy the movie. I thought it was good. I thought all the acting was really good as well. All the scenes that, like, everyone talks about were, they were definitely seen. Even though I knew they were coming, I was still, like, shocked and, like, screaming and whatever. Like, it was crazy. But it was a good, like, fun watch. Very entertaining. 3.5 out of 5. And I did want to talk about one more movie, but, like, I really, whatever, I'll just finish it. Okay. I saw Anyone But You, which is the little rom-com with Sydney Sweeney and Glenn Powell, and I thought it was okay. Like, I didn't think it was the worst thing I've ever seen, but I didn't think it was very good. I'm really missing that age of rom-coms where it was just delightful, you know? And I didn't get that from this movie. I feel like I've said this to a few people that I've talked about the movie with, but I don't think Sydney Sweeney is quite there when it comes to being a leading lady. I don't think she has enough, like, star power. I think she's obviously a gorgeous person, and I think she knows that people want to see her body and see her face. Like, she's a gorgeous person. But I think there needs to be a little bit more there from her rather than just her being a gorgeous person. And I feel like that was missing from the story for me. And Glenn Powell, I think he's a perfect leading man for a rom-com. He needs to be in every rom-com. I think he does perfect. He has just the right amount of likability and attractiveness where it's like, you're hot, but like, you're not 10 out of 10. You're like 8 out of 10. And for me, that's very high. But it's a cute little movie. Like, I would wait till it's on Netflix or Amazon for free. Like, I would not go to the movies and see it or pay any money to see it. But it's okay. It's cute. It's got its little moments. If you want to see Sydney Sweeney's boobs, it's in there. If you want to see a little bit of peen, it's in there. yeah, it's a movie. Anywho, things that you guys need to watch because I will be talking about on the next podcast. They're all going to be reality shows. So Love Island All Stars, you guys need to watch. The Trust on Netflix, you need to watch. And The Traitor Season 2 on Peacock, you guys need to watch. I will be recapping it next episode, whenever that's going to be. And I'm also going to be talking about some of the books that I've read and want to read in the next episode as well. But I've enjoyed getting to chit chat with you guys, and goodbye, my dears.